You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Nightlight. Hi, I'm Pete Chwaba. Great to have you with me on this. Well, at least in northeast Wisconsin, it is like monsoon type rain. Now, I've never been in a monsoon. I don't want to offend people who have, but it was about 20 to 6, and I said, I'm going to take a 10-minute walk. So I went outside. And I set my timer, and I thought, I'm going to get 5 minutes, and then I'll just turn and come back. Right when I got to where I was going, I'm not kidding, literally, and I know people say literally, like, not literally, literally, it was like a tornado of rain and trees bending, and it was insane. I'm soaking wet.
Yeah, it looks like you just jumped into a pool.
We have a shower here. We have two showers here at WGBW at the Civic Media Studios here, and no towel. Because I probably would have taken a shower. I'm soaking wet.
You can use paper towel.
I've never done the show barefoot before, but I have. I'm doing it barefoot. Dan Marcus, who will come in here tomorrow morning, all I can say is I'll try to wipe up. Barefoot, yeah, barefoot, Conrad.
When you were walking in and I was, you know, editing the beats, I heard your shoes just squeaking, and I'm like, what's what did he to step into something?
That's got to be an app or something.
And then I was like, is it raining? I looked over.
It's horrible.
And yeah, it's.
I mean,
it's coming down.
I don't mind. Like, I actually like supposedly getting caught in the rain. It's kind of fun. And when it's warm out, it's not too bad. But when you're about to take mic in hand and go on the air, it's a little off-putting. So we'll get through this, though, folks. Keep you on your toes. You're nice and dry and toasty. That's good, Conrad. Conrad Krieger working the board tonight, folks. We have a really fun show tonight. Don't ask me how I did it, folks, but I booked a colleague here at Civic Media, founder of the Recombobulation Area, and he is our Civic Media political writer, commentator. Dan Schaefer will be here tonight at 6:35. The last time Dan was on the show, we talked about, or I think we discovered on the air, we both have a love for this show, The Wire, which was an HBO show. I want to say it ran from like 2005 to 2012, something like that. Phenomenal show. One of my favorite shows of all time. Oftentimes referred to as the best TV show, the best episodic ever. And it would be hard to argue with that. They cover everything. They cover the police, City Hall. In one season, they covered the dying Baltimore Sun, the newspaper, and journalistic integrity. It's just a show that it was executed well, written well, created well by David Simon, a former Baltimore newspaper columnist. And it bangs on all cylinders. So if you haven't checked out The Wire, you might want to give it a watch or listen to my conversation with Dan at 6:35. We're going to do a dive into The Wire, and you can listen to that and see if it's to your liking. And then in the second hour, our pal, Rob Brackenridge, well, he was going to be here in the studio.
Yeah.
But he made a wise choice. I don't think it was weather related. He told us earlier in the day he couldn't come in. He has to do it by phone. But I don't
maybe
think
he's psychic, though.
Maybe. Rob's got a lot of talents. He has a funny, God, do you follow him on any socials? His TikTok is so funny. He's got his mom all the time.
Yeah, I follow his TikTok.
He's great. And he's a very funny comic, and he's a great guest. So he will be here at 7:20. Looking forward to having Rob on. This is kind of cool. We just found out today. With Naked Gun, the new Naked Gun in the theaters, folks. I said last week on the air, I'm partial to the original Naked Gun. I just don't think Leslie Nielsen can be taught. And as great as Liam Neeson is, and he's a phenomenal actor, and he does a lot of different genres. I know he's big in the action genre the last 25 years, but he's a really solid actor. And he's got good comedy chops, and he was funny in the Naked Gun. But Leslie Nielsen, I don't think... the writers of this Naked Gun matched the writers of the original Naked Gun. And speaking of that, David Zucker will be on the show Monday night at 6:35 p.m. A native Wisconsin son who, along with his brother and other Midwest writers like Jim Abrams, who's a Wisconsin guy, Pat Proft, who is a Twin Cities guy. Those guys went out to Hollywood and made some amazing films. So David Zucker will be here at 6:35 on Monday. Looking forward to that.
He made one of the best sports movies ever.
What was it?
Basketball.
Oh, I thought that was the South Park guys. You're right, though. David Zucker was EP on that, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, if you really want to dive into his, like some of his earlier work, I'm going to look it up before I make a... I do consider myself a journalist, Conrad. I know you might not. But Kentucky Fried Movie, that's one I think you should check out, Con. It's John Landis directed it, but David Zucker, Jim Abrams, and Jerry Zucker were the writers. That's three Wisconsin dudes. And it's just this crazy... I'm going to give it a rewatch before I talk to David on Monday because I haven't seen it in years, but it's very, very funny, groundbreaking in many ways, and I think probably put he and his brother on the map in 1977. So that will be fun. We'll talk to David Zucker on Monday. Tonight, lots of fun, though. The Wire. Have you seen The Wire at all?
I have not.
Oh, dude, it is so good. It's just, it's fantastic. It's a great show. So we'll talk about that. The characters are great. The storylines are great. There's just enough action, just enough sort of, intellectual type stuff going on, heady stuff at times. So we will, that'll be fun to talk to Dan. Dan and I have been trying to line this up for a while. He's a busy guy, Conrad. I don't know if you knew that.
He definitely is.
He is. He's a busy dude. So we're happy to have him. I will say, should we get our question? Let's do the question. Here's the Nightlight question of the night, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your least favorite professional sport? This is not inspired by any day of the year or big birthday or anything like that. It just comes down to the fact that you and I, about a week ago, we were talking about the Cubs and the Brewers, and Mike Clemens was on. We were talking about NFL training camps, and then NHL and NBA start up in like 6 weeks or so. There is that window where there's four professional sports happening. And then if you include golf, which I don't, that's five. And, you know, all kinds of stuff. WNBA maybe. I don't know what else. But it got me thinking, what are you least likely to watch? What is your least favorite professional sport? And I say golf. Having said that, all right, golf is my least favorite to watch on a regular basis. That doesn't mean if it came down to one hole and two guys duking it out. I love that kind of stuff.
It's right now it's the playoffs, so it's an exciting time in golf.
In golf?
Yeah, okay. The BMW Championship is this week, and then after that, it's the race to the FedEx Cup.
All right. The race? For golfers?
Okay.
Those hydroelectric golf carts. I also think, I would say golf, then hockey, then tennis, then baseball, then hoops, then football. But I would say probably golf for me. What do you say, Conrad?
Professional water polo.
Yeah. That's going to be a popular one tonight.
Have you ever watched water polo on TV?
I have.
I watched it on, the Ocho.
Oh, yeah, ESPN Ocho.
Ocho is hilarious because you can find just random sports on there. You can find professional cornhole on there, professional axe throwing.
Yeah, snooze.
Dodgeball.
Snooze.
Like, in the movie Dodgeball, they're actually on the Ocho.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but it's actually real. They do dodgeball on it. And then there's also darts on the Ocho, too. Anything you can think of probably is on the Ocho at some point.
All of those, I don't know. Water polo, I've watched. That's a talent, staying afloat while you're trying to do all that stuff. I love Frisbee Ultimate. Some of these off. But, I don't know if... I think there are people that make money at those things. But I guess I'm talking about the bigger sports. So I say golf. What do you say? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your least favorite professional sport is. You can also text us on the app. Or if you're watching on the stream, drop us a stream comment, too. Be part of the show, folks. Always more fun that way. So, all right. So we were going to talk about... We just know the movie's bad. I'm not even going to watch it. Like, sometimes if something is so bad, I'll check it out because I'm curious about how bad it is. But the new War of the Worlds, I don't know why they had to redo this movie, starring Ice Cube, got a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's 3% more than everybody who never made a movie got. They edged us out by 3%. And you saw a really bad. Were you able to find that clip?
It's probably not
available yet.
Well, it is. It's just that it's not really radio friendly because it's like you have to watch it.
Okay.
But in this scene, like he's on the phone. I think that's a popular thing in that movie. Like they're always on the phone or something.
Oh yeah, it's like supposedly a virtual.
Yeah.
It's all computer screens or something like that.
Yeah, and Ice Cube is watching his son get chased by an alien thing. He's like, run, get out of there. And then he dies. And then
the kid.
Ice Cube just like puts his head or his hand on his head and just like, that's it. That's the scene.
Wow.
Nothing like, oh my God, my son died. You know, he's not sad or anything. He's just like, oh, well, that's.
That would be bad dialogue in that situation too, though. Oh my God, my son died. It got, I mean, just tortured by critics. 3% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's packed, apparently, with product placement, which I don't mind a little bit of that, but when it looks like it's just a vehicle to sell products, please go away. Can't stand it. One critic called it a cinematic atrocity for the ages. Another says H.G. Wells is probably turning in his grave. And finally, another critic said, irredeemably bad, even for a pandemic movie. So I am curious, but I also, like, if this were 20 years ago, I probably would have just checked it out for a laugh or to see just how bad it was, but I'm not even going to bother, like, when it's that much of a consensus. No way.
I'm not watching.
Yeah. I got better things to do. We have a phone call?
Yeah, Mark from Prairie du Sac.
Mark from the Sac. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, doing okay. Yeah, back in the 70s, and I actually first heard this on the jukebox down the beer bar. At UW Superior there, but Jeff Wayne actually did a musical of War of the Worlds. It was actually pretty decent, and actually the illustrations on the album, you know, in the booklet that came with the album actually were closer to the descriptions of War of the Worlds. But I actually read the book back in sixth grade. In fact, I got it from Scholastic Book Club. But I mean that it actually is a pretty decent narration of War of the Worlds.
So, it's a musical, though, you said, Mark?
It's a musical version of it. I mean, they've got people singing some of the roles of it, like the Parson's wife, you know, it's the whole complete thing, but it kind of goes through tells the whole story.
Mark, you just saying that is worth easily 4% if I'm reviewing it. So, you've already outdone the latest War of the Worlds just with a phone call to a radio show. I will look around for that. That sounds actually kind of fun. Thank you so much for the call.
I've actually got it on DVD. So
oh my
DVD,
gosh!
But on CD, so that occasionally I toss it in there and listen to it because it, it's actually a fairly decent narration of it.
I am so curious now. I'm going to see if I can stream it. Thank you, buddy. Oh, appreciate the call, Mark.
You're welcome.
All right, later. That's Mark from Prairie du Sac, and now there's another iteration of War of the Worlds. It's a musical. Check it out. We are coming right back to read your texts, and we're going to hear a little bit. I don't know. Should we tease Rob or Dan's? We got great clips. We'll figure it out. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwaba, and you've got the Civic Media Radio Network. We are trying to stay dry here in Northeast Wisconsin tonight. I hope it's nicer in various other parts of the state, wherever you're listening. But we got soaked, and I got soaked. And we got a comment, apparently. I got some sympathy from a listener. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, what's worse, getting wet in the rain without a towel or no toilet paper after you realize there's no toilet paper? Well, funny you should say that, Tom. I also needed toilet paper when I took my walk. No, I don't know. I would say probably. I know that's kind of a hypothetical, but I'm soaking wet right now, but that's okay. I guess getting caught without a towel is worse or not as bad. All right, so our question of the night is, what is your least favorite professional sports? There's a window coming up where we're going to have professional football, professional baseball, hockey, and basketball. I don't know when the WNBA starts, do you?
No, I think it's...
Starts later, correct?
I think it's in the playoffs soon.
All right.
Yeah, because I don't know if you heard about the whole thing with the WNBA right now.
I did not.
What people are throwing on the court.
Oh, I did hear that.
It's happened more than like three times now.
My wife is wondering what happened to hers. So
did you go to a WNBA game?
She just cleaned out her drawer and went to town. Well, yeah, what is the deal with that? Why are they doing that? Did they say?
I don't know. It's just jokes, I guess.
People.
But one of them actually got arrested for it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That could put on an eye.
Sophie Cunningham. Actually, joked about it and said that could hurt someone.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, but
well, depending.
And yeah, people thought she was serious, but she was joking.
People need to get a life. I don't know why they would do that. I mean, you could hurt someone theoretically, and they're sex toys, is what we're talking about. That's what people are throwing in the court. More specifically, one that starts with a D, and I don't know if we could say that.
They could trip over it, and
you could roll, be like marbles or something, you know. and in that case, size truly doesn't matter because you could. Someone could turn an ankle. It's not good. So what is your least favorite professional sport? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know or drop us a stream comment or text us on the app. So there's Mark's text. We just talked to Mark on the phone. I want to check that out. A musical of the War of the Worlds. It has to be better than the new movie. Conrad's mom checks in and says, any type of wrestling or boxing. Now that's interesting.
She hates professional wrestling.
What? Which one? Like
the WWE.
Professional, quote, end quote?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't like it. Yeah, you know what? I would put that below golf, frankly. I apologize to the golfers.
Thank you.
I'm going to say pro wrestling. Boxing I like. But there's a serious skill to boxing.
Yeah, Jake Paul. I know you like watching him.
I do. And I guess MMA you'd have to throw in there too. I used to love MMA. Now it's just knuckleheads.
Yeah, UFC is crazy, but there's some, you know, sometimes I'm really excited for some of those fights that they showcase, but
I still like, there's an artistry to the fighting, but I can't stand the,
you know, I don't know if you heard this, they're going away from pay-per-view now.
Yeah, UFC. They bought Paramount Plus, right?
Yeah. So that's that's kind of cool for, I mean, everyone's going to still do the same thing that they do for it.
And are they going to jack up the prices on Paramount Plus?
Probably, if I had to guess.
So if you want to watch like a Taylor Sheridan show or MMA, you need Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to pay more for Paramount Plus just to watch UFC. I already don't watch UFC. It's too expensive.
Yeah, I mean, you could do, you know, just go to the...
Pirate it.
Yeah, the streaming site.
Stream East. We're totally outing Stream East. Mark from Prairie to Sac says, the only thing worse than watching golf on television is having to play the damn game. Oh, come
on. I mean, it's a love-hate relationship
with
really the game.
It really is. Even if you're good at it.
Yeah, because there's
days.
You can
be really furious.
There's days you can be bad.
Absolutely. Tom from New Berlin says, professional paper football. Okay. Tom apparently has some sponsors. I didn't know they paid those guys. That was a fun game to play when you were kids, though. Thank you, Tom. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My least favorite sport is soccer. It was good to hear you on John and Gordy this morning. Well, thank you, Anna. Thank you for listening. John and Gordy are my pals. That was a fun spot today. We had a good time, Conrad. You should have been there. You should have gotten your butt out of bed.
No, I was definitely sleeping.
I had the coffee going at like 7 because I didn't want to like just sit there and be a dope and not say anything. You know, I had to wake up a little bit. Love John and Gordy. That was fun. Thank you for listening, Anna, and thank you for listening tonight. Matt from Middleton says, underwater basket weaving is the silliest. Well, yeah, I would agree with that if that's actually a thing.
I'm looking up pictures, and there's actual pictures of people doing that.
Why?
Anything can be a sport.
I guess so, but can't you do it above water? You need snorkeling equipment to make a basket?
Yep.
Lame. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, football, the point system numbers are pointless. Everybody should be allowed to kick the big balls like in D.C. I saw something about that in the news. I still don't know what he's talking about, though. I'll have to go back and do some research. Thank you, Tyler. Nick from Marshall says, my least favorite sport is NASCAR. Oh, I forgot about the racing. And if you have not seen the bit with Jeff Dunham and his puppet, Sweet Daddy D, I highly recommend looking it up from his first movie, Arguing with Myself. We could do a Google on that, Con. And then our guest from last night, Fallon, who was here in the studio, creator of the show Instability, says, unfortunately for me as a Wisconsinite, my least favorite sport is football. So why is a Wisconsinite, though? I don't think Fallon would like football. She was probably in any, or if they were probably in any state. They continue to say, and sadly, especially because domestic violence increases during football season. Yeah, I've heard that's true. I would imagine it's even worse for MMA. Like, I don't know. Go out and throw a ball around, right? Get out your couch and go tackle each other. Go roughhouse out of doors. Thank you, Fallon, for the stream comment. Let us know, folks. Be part of the show. Let us know what your least favorite professional sport is. There are no wrong answers. There are only your answers. Great night here tonight. Rob Brackenridge is here at 7:20, one of my favorite comedians. Unfortunately, he will not be in the studio. We had to do that. He's coming in, or he'll be here via phone. But in just a few minutes, folks, after Civic Media's news team keeps you informed, Dan Schaefer will be here. We're going to talk about The Wire. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area and an outstanding political commentator. And he's coming up next. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Walk through the garden, you better watch your back.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That is some the theme music from the show The Wire. And it's a perfect lead-in, folks, because my next guest is a big fan of the show, and you know him from Civic Media, his amazing work he does here. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area here at Civic Media, but you also know him as a good Milwaukee guy, a lover of all things sports, entertainment, and specifically politics. Mr. Dan Schaefer joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, buddy.
Mr. Schwab, wonderful to finally join you here.
We've been talking about this.
To get to talk about the greatest show of all time, HBO's The Wire.
It's fantastic. I have been looking forward to this. How are you? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. You know, it's been a crazy week in and around Milwaukee with the floods that we've been experiencing here. We lucked out. We were not really, didn't have any damage at our place. We live on the top of a hill on the west side of Milwaukee. But just down the river, or just down the hill from us is the Menominee River. And right up there is where you've seen a lot of these flood videos from, you know, downtown Wauwatosa, the Tosa Village area, and up and through the river there. I spent some time today getting some video and footage for the news team here in Germantown, where there was water covering like four lanes of traffic on a fairly large road. Gosh. It's just been absolutely crazy. It's been a lot, but wonderful to join you here to talk about
a little escape for you, Dan, maybe?
Little escape. Yeah, there we go.
Do you have a least favorite professional sports or least favorite professional sport?
Yeah, I saw you guys were talking about that beforehand here. I think I'm going to agree with you, Pete. I'm not a golf fan.
Same.
I'm not a golfer. I played a little bit when I was younger, but I just like I couldn't really get into it at all. And then watching it, it's just like watching paint dry. it's just the most boring sport to be watching at all. And it's just like you quiet watching the guy walk up to the tee, and it's the most boring one to watch. But you know what? I will say though that I think this is a really I'm kind of fascinated by like all the weird sports that you guys have been talking about too.
Yeah.
And just like I really like watching SportsCenter this time of year. because you're like in the middle of August and there's no, you know, there's no drama happening in any professional sport right now, right?
Right.
Like, we're past the All-Star break in baseball. We're not quite yet to the postseason. You know, preseason football is just getting started. The NBA is fully in its off-season mode. So you just don't have anything going on. And it's just funny to see, you know, these sports center anchors try to fill time, you know, talking about whatever's going on here and whatever, and, you know, and you just get a good variety. Like, I like seeing some WNBA highlights because I'm a big basketball fan.
Yeah.
Just seeing like random baseball highlights from around the country, that's always good. But it's a weird time of year for sports. And the fact that we haven't had, you know, it's not Olympics year.
Right.
There's no World Cup. Like, this has been a very slow summer for sports.
But you're right, though. The best thing is watching news anchors try to really sell it, you know, when there's right. just not a lot going on. I get a kick out of that. So, But yeah, golf is the same. The best thing that ever happened to golf, in my opinion, was the movie Caddyshack. So that's my extent of my love for golf right there. But
100% with you there.
All right. So let's jump in. Oh, I wanted to tell you, too, Dan, I think you had a big influence, pardon me, on Governor Evers deciding not to run again.
And oh, I don't think so.
I'm not going to say it was all you, Dan, but, you know, you're a pretty influential guy, and I just hope you don't say the same things about the host of Nightlight, because I like this gig, so...
I'm all for another term for Pete Schwab on Nightlight.
Let's jump into the whole reason you're here. Well, we'd have you here anyway, but the show, yes. The Wire. Tell me what you love about it and how you first discovered it and why you love it, Dan.
Well, I really do think, you know, we're in this kind of golden age of TV, right?
Yeah.
For the past, you know, however many years, you know, starting to get kind of like the cinematic type of approach to television that really began, I think, with HBO in the early 2000s in a lot of ways. And I think one of the shows that I loved at the time was Lost. And once I started getting into Lost, then I started like branching out into other shows. And I found The Wire. I want to say it was like late 2007, early 2008 when I was in college, and just really started getting it. I don't watch a lot of like the Law and Order type shows typically. But people kept telling me to check this one out. So I got into it. And once I got about halfway through the first season, I was just absolutely hooked. I had to watch everything as fast as I possibly could. The characters are so rich. The acting is so well done. The writing is on another level. It's like I really do think it's kind of the great American novel of this era that David Simon and the rest of the team there were able to portray. And then each season just kind of revealing another layer of the city of Baltimore, you know, the first season really starting with the police and the drug trade and you know, that element of how that impacted the city and then really opening things up to the port in the second season and really taking what seemed like a, you know, kind of a wild left turn. But it just goes, I think the you know, the real kind of through line theme of the show is that all the pieces matter. And they really went through all of the pieces in so many rich, detailed, and often funny ways. Like,
yeah.
I thought, you know, I don't think people really think of The Wire as a funny show on the surface, but so many of the characters, any Bunk McNulty scenes, there's so many great stuff throughout the show. And I think it does, the fact that it has a little bit of a sense of humor to it makes it all the more real and really brings it all home. And then, of course, you know, I'm the political editor here, right? So once they start getting into the politics of it all, I was super interested in that, and I still think the fourth season of the show, when they bring on this cast of kids who are middle school age kids, kind of this coming of age piece of it, and how that was conflicting with, you know, the rest of what was going on in Baltimore that they were showing, I think that is still the single greatest season of TV ever made.
And it's such a great, very well said, Dan, but that's such a great season too, because didn't they call back the Przybylowski character? And the way they worked him back in, he was a cop, and I think he shot a couple people or his gun went off and he had to leave. Now he's a teacher and they worked that back in. So they're great at that too, but you said something I really agree with. What I love about The Wire is it's got a little bit of everything, but it also takes its time. Like there's no big action sequence or HBO let them do what the producers wanted to do. Like, and you mentioned comedy, and it's great, but it's realistic when they cut their ties off, like when one of them falls asleep and they'll cut their coworkers. Yeah. And I think somebody cuts Bunk's tie off and kisses the tie and sticks them. It's just, it's a treasure. The show is just, and like you said, to go 5 seasons, but 12 episodes, they're not doing the broadcast TV 26 episodes where they're just pulling at everything to try to make it entertaining. All the seasons are tight. And from the first time we meet Avon Barksdale and his crew in season one, I would agree with you. I love the season with the kids in 4, but I think my favorite is probably season 3 when Bunny Colvin becomes a character. And for those of you listening, my guest is Dan Schaefer. He is our political editor here at Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area. He does such great work. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him here at Civic Media. And he is a huge fan, as am I, of the show The Wire. So that's what we're talking about here tonight. Bunny Colvin in season 3 shows up, and he gets the go-ahead to make a certain area where people can buy drugs, and they hand out condoms. And all this stuff happens in this one area, and the crime rates in the rest of the city go down. But they have an issue. What did you think of that season, Dan?
Bunny Colvin is on the very short list of my favorite characters on the show.
Same.
And I thought that was such a smart way to bring these things in, and the way that, you know, he was just kind of being this like renegade police captain, and then eventually that conflicted with what was happening in City Hall and with the campaigns, and you know, how it even impacted, you know, the just kind of like, you know, the junkie characters they had on the show too. And it's just like, all of a sudden there's, you know, some public health component to get like a, like you said, there, condoms are clean, different things like that. So, I thought that was so interesting. And the way that, that connected to the following season too, because Bunny Colvin tried the whole thing with Hamsterdam that they called it in season three.
That's right.
And then the way it connects to, he also goes back to one of the schools in season 4 and talks to the boys. And I thought, you know, it's not a show that has a lot of happy endings.
Right.
Right. It's a tragedy in a lot of ways.
Correct.
But I think the story, the arc that has a true happy ending involves Bunny Colvin and one of the boys from that fourth season, and that final shot of what was it? Naaman, was that his name? I'm bad with names. The boy that basically Bunny Colvin had taken in by the end of the season.
Oh yeah.
And there's that shot. They're at the nice part of Baltimore, and they're just looking over the street corner, and it's just like this serene image, and he just finally made it. And that just really sticks with me. It's just, you know, the payoff of that. You know, you have, like you said, everything is so dense and detailed and rich. And these storylines really pay off. And that's one of them, with Bunny Colvin and all the struggles that he went with as a police captain, with City Hall, all of the different things. And the fact that, you know, he is part of one of the positive storylines in the show, I thought was just phenomenal.
Absolutely. Bunny Colvin, played by Robert Wisdom. He's one of my favorite characters too, and he has that great, you're right, he's really, I identify him with season 3 more, but you're right, he had a big part in season 4. Here's a clip of Bunny Colvin. I want to play this. It's about a minute and a half long, and the character Bubbles, who is such another tragic character that you just love. Do we have time for the clip, Con? We could play it coming out of the break if we don't.
Yeah, we got a, it's about a minute and a half, and we got 2 minutes left.
So. All right, so if we keep talking like this, we're running out of time.
Yes.
All right. We'll play it when we come back from the break. But Bunny Colvin, in the clip I'll just set up, Bubbles is a great tragic character. And you're right, Dan, the show is a tragedy, but like the little victories are what make it worth watching. And it's just like real life. You have this great thing, and you've got this police captain or lieutenant, whatever Bunny was, who thinks outside the box. And Bubbles is teaching a guy how to scavenge. Basically, what happened in season 3, they had this, I don't remember what they called it, but it was the place where you could go buy condoms and drugs, and there was no violence. And police weren't beating on people, and the drug dealers weren't robbing each other, and it was like things had calmed down. But for political reasons, they knocked down the entire, it was like a four-block city, a four-block radius. And it's Bunny just standing there looking over the wreckage of this concept that he had that worked. And then Bubbles teaching a guy, a fellow drug addict, how to scavenge and look for metal and turn that in for money. And he and Bunny have such a great, just a great rapport. They have this quick little conversation, and we'll play that right when we come back. Dan Schaefer is here, folks. I also forgot Dan. Jamie Hector's in that show, and I love Jamie Hector. Mm. He plays Marlo. So we'll talk more about The Wire with our guest Dan Schaefer after this very short break, and we're going to play the clip I was just discussing. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight, and it's great to have you here on this Tuesday night in the beautiful state of Wisconsin.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
No tent murder. What was it, Mr. Little? I shot the boy Mike in his hind parts, that all. Fixed it so he couldn't sit right.
It's the other one, Con. I sent Conrad two clips earlier. The one I was just describing is with Bunny and Bubbles. Dan Schaefer is here. Here's the clip, folks, that I was talking about right before we went to break with Bunny Colvin and Bubbles that I just described right before the break. Go ahead, Con.
I hope you're listening, because I'm trying to school you here.
Huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't want to know. Well, you think you're blind, but you're still green. How you doing? That's something, huh? The ladies took a bigger race and loved to cross it.
Yeah.
You know, but before, a dope fiend come down here, cop a little something, they ain't nary a soul hassle him. Hoppers and police, they just let him be.
It's a good thing, huh?
I'm just saying. You probably don't know, but there's love out there, baby. Cops be back banging on you. Hoppers be messing with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Coppers and hoppers, Dan. They were leaving people alone. It's hard. Bubbles is so funny. I love the way he used to say, McNulty. Hey, McNulty. McNulty. Hey, McNulty. He's hard to understand sometimes, but he's such a great character. And that was, and that's an example of what I was saying before about how the show just takes its time. They're just looking over this wreckage and they're letting it breathe.
Absolutely. So few shows really do that the way that The Wire does. And I think that's part of what makes it so great. You know, people will do their list of the best shows of all time, you know, and it'll be The Sopranos or Breaking Bad or you know, whatever it might be. Whenever people ask me that, it's just like the argument's for second. The Wire is number one. If we want to have the argument about, you know, whether it's the, you know, Sopranos or Mad Men or whatever the show is that's second place, we can have that. But nothing really has approached what The Wire was able to do. And with such a, you know, each season added so many characters to the cast, too. And you get all the way to the end and they're weaving so many of these storylines in through it. And it's just remarkable storytelling.
Were you familiar with David Simon's work before The Wire, Dan, either on Homicide: Life on the Street or his work as a reporter? He's such a fascinating guy, the creator of The Wire.
I mean, I knew of Homicide: Life on the Street. It wasn't a show that I really watched a whole lot of. I've learned about his all of his stuff through The Wire, and like I got all the DVDs when they came out back when there were DVDs, and all of like the behind the scenes inside looks. I just like ate all of that up, and there was a guy that he worked with there I think his name was Ed Burns,
yeah,
who was an actual police detective with that he had worked with. He was like basically a source for
and a teacher.
And a teacher. So he was able to really bring that knowledge of, you know, I think they based a lot of characters off of real people in Baltimore and all of that, too. And I think there were some characters, too, that just they had just leapt off the screen and they made them regulars, like the Omar character, who I think is probably the most iconic character from
such
the show
character.
At this point. Like he was not supposed to survive past the first season. And he became, you know, and the late Michael K. Williams, phenomenal actor. It's brought so much to that role that they were just like, well, we've got to keep him on. We've got to keep Omar going. And of course, we've got some, you know, so many of the most iconic scenes from the show are Omar scenes.
It's in those of you listening, Omar is a character who robs drug dealers and he makes no bones about it. He walks down an alley and whistles to let people know he's coming. And he's also gay, and he's just a very complex, cool character. Like, not cliche in any way. He was just such a different... And I always meant to Google or research if that was based on a real person.
I'm not sure that it was. I think his character was kind of like a combination of a few different people from Baltimore.
Okay.
But like that type of character... I mean, this show came out in 2002.
Right.
You know, you have a gay, black... A guy who robs drug dealers being like the most lovable character of the show who came out in 2002. It's so groundbreaking at so many levels. Pete, do you have a favorite character from the show? Everybody always has like a favorite character question.
It's
for this
funny,
show.
Dan, I tried to make a list earlier and I had Bunny first. I had Bunk and McNulty, a tie as kind of a package deal because they were so funny. Love Omar. Lester Freeman is kind of a forgotten character, and he's the guy that actually runs The Wire, and he's just kind of this old, weathered, kind of wise dude. So he was on my list, and I love Lieutenant Daniels, Lance Reddick, who passed away also, and I loved him on Bosch. So, but what about you?
Well, you mentioned him. Lester Freeman's my favorite character on the show. The guy who's has all the knowledge and all the patience to follow everything through. And I think he was the guy, the real like moral compass of like the police group, because McNulty would be taking things too far in certain ways or whatever it might be. Other guys might be focused on the wrong type of objective in their mission. Lester was always kept it cool, always kept it focused, and he was always the smartest guy in the room.
Very
and
cerebral,
a lot.
Yeah. I liked Kima Greggs too. She had such
and
a
Kima,
cool voice, and she was just like this gritty street cop. Loved her character as well. I do. Can we keep you for a few more minutes after the news, Dan? I've got a great clip of Omar in court, and so we'll do that.
I know the clip you're talking about.
Yeah, and I want to get your opinion too when we come back, Dan, of the season where they deal with the Baltimore Sun and the dying newspaper, because I thought that was like. Maybe not the most exciting season, but fascinating in its own right. Dan Schaefer is here, folks. He is the political editor here at Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area. We are talking about The Wire, and we'll have a few more minutes with Dan when we come back. Our question of the night, if you want to get in on the fun, it's not too late, is what is your least favorite professional sport? On social media, Scott Lieberman says NHL. I guess that would be a close second for me, too. But we're going to do all of this more, even bigger, when we come back, folks. We're talking The Wire. Dan Schaefer's here. We got a clip, and I'm going to ask him what else Dan likes on TV before we let him go. It's Beach Wabbit and Nightlight, Act 2, coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.